one's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone. Or are you without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment and to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here just for this purpose, to enlighten and empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay, here we are on a Wednesday night. This is the Abiding Presence. You can log on to the show's website to listen to the show or through Live 365. We're going to be getting this on the telephones for everybody very soon. We've got some new letters for consideration, some new theories. There's a lot of things going on around this time of year. We're going to be talking about God's grace this evening. Also, Jim has got some personal appearances coming up, and he'll be telling you where those are going to be. So what exactly do you want to talk about as far as grace tonight? What's your thought?
Well, first of all, hello, everybody. I'm thankful that you tuned in. We're going to have a great week, great show. There's so much to talk about with grace, but I actually love your theory you put up called the pillow theory. And I've got all kinds of scriptures. I think I got way too many. We could go on for a long time that would just substantiate what we've talked about concerning the pillow theory. And God's grace is everywhere. We talked about that weeks and weeks and weeks ago when, in fact, there's a air theory that's there. That I wrote a long time ago, quite a few months ago, and it just shows you that the grace of God is like breathing air. It's everywhere. And the more you need, the more the grace of God is available for you. Now, in the pillow theory, what I love so much about it, BJ, is it really gets down to the application of using the grace of God. Applying it. And this is something we could talk about grace forever and people not know, well, how do I access it? How do I take advantage of it?
Nobody, I don't know. Some people think grace is really something special that you must put on a special shelf in your living room, like a china doll.
Right.
And say, okay, yeah, that's God's grace. It's really important and I have it. And other people will talk about God's grace, but they don't have a clue as to exactly where it is and why they should be enjoying it, and they're not.
No, they're not. In fact, you know, you think about some of the things that are being said today about grace, which are wonderful, a lot of great information, but it's more than just information, BJ. It's taking the information and allowing God to begin to actually influence every area of your life. And the fun really begins not in the knowing, but in the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is that some people will, and it has to go with the pillow theory. They'll take the Word of God, they'll take their Bible, they'll take their church or their building, they'll take what they believe, their faith, and they will literally put it in a safety deposit box because it's so important.
Yes.
And they won't use it, they won't tell anybody about it, they'll revere it, they'll light candles for it, they'll camp out in front of the safety deposit box, they won't show it to anybody, they won't take it out. They won't tell anybody that they have it because they protect it, and they think that they misunderstand that grace isn't meant to be special. Grace isn't even meant to be important. Grace is meant to be as important as clean running water in your house.
Yes.
It's everywhere where you want it, and sometimes if you have a leak, it's where you least expect it.
It's a necessity, but it becomes an expected experience in a person's life. It's not something that should be, let's just say it this way, it shouldn't have to be coveted, because in coveting it, you're not using it.
No.
You know, when I grew up, I shared before, and if you've gone to some of the pages there on the website, which is theabidingpresence.com, you'll find some of the things about my life as well. But I was saved when I was 4 years of age. And BJ, we learned that for by grace you are saved through faith, but we left it right there. That was it. In other words, it got us saved. And even our salvation, we left it right there. We didn't take it into an experience. It was just something. You know what it was? It came down to, it was like fire insurance. It got us to heaven because we were saved, but we didn't experience the salvation. And tonight we're going to talk about some of these things and really begin to help you to see the wonders of being able to use the grace of God. And don't be offended by what BJ said when he said, you know, the grace of God's not supposed to be special. You know, everything from God is special, but listen, don't categorize something and put it off into a place where it seems unattainable. The grace of God is supposed to be like breathing air. It's supposed to be the most natural thing you could do and the most expected thing you should fellowship with all day long. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, a relationship between, I mean, it depends. I guess it's semantics on what is special. It's supposed to be commonplace.
Thank you.
And to me, that's not special.
Right.
It might be important. It might be something that you cherish, but special means that there's something unusual about it, that it's different, that it's odd, that it isn't commonplace.
Right.
Like if you go into a store, they say, well, they have a special sale. Or someone will say, I have something special to show you. But when it comes to the Word of God and when it comes to grace, I don't think they should be special.
Yeah.
I think they should be accepted, and they should be as commonplace as socks and underwear and shoes.
Yeah, to the listening ear, if an individual out there is listening and you've been fellowshipping and partaking of God's wonderful grace for some time now, you know exactly what BJ is saying. But let's go to the more religious mindset that might be there, and I'm not trying to make you that, but let's go to that mindset, which is like how I grew up. We didn't experience the grace of God. We didn't know there was something to experience besides saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and now I'm rejoicing that I'm going to heaven. We didn't understand it. So for us, experiencing God's ability and favor in any manner or form would have actually been, quote unquote, special, because we didn't know anything about it. So whether you've not experienced being able to live your life with God's influence, or you've begun to live that way forever, I want you to know that grace should be as common as you breathing air. Is air special? Well, it certainly is if you want to stay in this earth with your physical body. But is air commonplace? Is it to be expected? Or you could even say it this way. Is it possible to get so acclimated to breathing air that you don't even think about it anymore? Could it be that way with grace, BJ?
It's supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
It is. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to think about God. You're not supposed to really worship God. You're just supposed to be with God.
Right.
Everywhere you go, because you're a spirit being.
Yeah.
The only time you have to focus on God or think about God or pray to God is because you've separated yourself from God.
Right.
Otherwise, it's kind of redundant.
Right. Yes.
I mean, you don't think about blinking your eyes. You don't think about taking a breath unless you're short of air.
Yes.
Or you don't think about blinking your eyes unless you have something that's in your eye. Well, what are those two things? One is the denial of air, and the other one is an obstruction. Well, you could say that unless you have an obstruction or distraction, or you have a denial of Christ, why would you have to think about it?
That's very, very good.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
And so if you pontificate it, if you put Christ on a pedestal, what does that really do for grace? Because grace is really the tool of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it is.
That heals, that saves lives, that prevents catastrophic things from occurring, that provides the most wondrous of things to enjoy. But yet at the same time, even though it does those things, it's supposed to be commonplace.
Yes.
Because if you think it's special, if you think it's supernatural, if you think that prayers should not be granted instantaneously every time, which, by the way, in the book it says, ask and you shall receive.
That's right.
If you think that there are certain things that you can do that would never be forgiven, which goes against all sins are forgiven.
Right.
If you think that you're not worthy enough, well, everybody's made in his image and is going to do greater works than him. Well, then if all these things are absolute and all these things are true, then that really proves the point that grace isn't special.
Yeah.
Because if you think it's special, then that means you don't have enough of it.
Right.
And if you think you don't have enough grace, just by the fact saying, I don't think I have enough grace, means that you're not even recognizing it.
Right, right.
Because you have it.
Right.
You had it before you were born.
Yeah, when you put this in retrospect to the Apostle Paul, who was a preacher of grace, in fact, it's kind of interesting, BJ, in his epistles or his letters to the church, Paul always started out by saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So he wanted people to be mindful that grace and peace were yours. Now, here's an interesting thought. But when the Apostle Paul gave his letters out, the only prayers Paul was really interested in you praying or him praying for the church was that our eyes would be opened, that we'd have understanding and knowledge and revelation concerning who God is. He didn't pray that you'd have more grace. He didn't say, pray that you can use grace today. No, that was a given. That was a part of the package. It was a part of our contract with Christ. It was coming into Christ and being overloaded and daily blessed with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his peace. So walking in the will of God was a surefire way of you experiencing God's grace. And Paul experienced it in good times, and Paul experienced it in hard times. He experienced it whether he was talking to the Jews or whether he was talking to the Gentiles. Paul understood that everything that he did, his laboring, was by the grace of God.
Well, see, then that just proves what I said. Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, good or bad, grace was there.
Grace was there.
So then that means it's really unspecial. Another new word. We like unwords, like unable and unnatural. And now we have unspecial.
We're trying to create a new dictionary.
It's part of the BJ Bible, the BJ Dictionary. It's a two-volume set, be available for Christmas.
Yeah.
No, it won't be available for Christmas.
We might get some takers. Well, this is a great subject.
I hope not.
No, this is a great subject. And I came prepared tonight with a bunch of wonderful things from the Word of God that'll just support our pillow theory, because really and truly, it's one of my favorite writings that you did.
Okay, so here's the pillow theory. We want you to read the theory. It's under the theory section, but don't read it now. Okay, here's the pillow theory. Let's say that you have a pillow. All right, you have a pillow in your house. This pillow means everything to you. You don't go anywhere without this pillow. You hold on to it. You squeeze it tight. You don't let anybody touch it. You don't tell anybody about it. You don't let anybody enjoy it. Why? Because this is your special pillow. This is your favorite pillow. This is a pillow that means everything to you. And you thank God for this pillow. You think about this pillow. You covet this pillow. Everything that is great and holy is this pillow. Now, what good does that pillow really do for you? You can't reach out to somebody and help them. Why? Because you've got both arms clutching your pillow. You can't really listen to someone who's depressed or needs a kind ear because you're too busy flapping your gums bragging about your pillow. Now, let's take the pillow and let's replace it with your faith, your belief, otherwise known as grace. If you're holding on to grace and you're not sharing it, if you're talking about grace and praising grace, but not using it, what good is it? What good is your faith, your belief? Why have it? Doesn't it make sense that if you have this pillow that is from God, that it's grace, that if you see somebody that is homeless, you're driving down the road, you roll down your window, what do? You throw the pillow at them like it's a Frisbee. If someone is in an accident, what do? You pull over to the side of the road, you offer them a pillow. If someone needs a kind ear, you say, wait a minute, talk to my pillow. What do you think the Holy Spirit is going to do if you freely give, if you use your pillow all the time? If you throw it out the window, you don't think there's going to be five more right next to you?
It's good. It's really good.
You don't think that all of a sudden your car is going to be on autopilot and all the windows are going to go down and the Holy Spirit is going to say, well, as long as you want to throw pillows, why don't we just throw pillows out all the windows? And let me fill up your tank full of gas so you can throw pillows all day long.
Yep.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if pillows are grace, I promise you, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are in the pillow manufacturing business.
That's right.
They're making pillows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
yeah.
And the pillow is always perfect. And the pillow fits everywhere, everything, all the time. And there's an insatiable amount of pillows. Think about it. If you're in a grocery store this time of year and you see somebody looking at a cart and their cart isn't full of groceries, and you see a man and a woman and they're counting their pennies and they're counting their dollars, if you have a pillow, you should beat the holy snot out of their cart with your pillow and yeah. Put something in it. Put some cans of vegetables in it. Put a turkey in it. Put a canned ham in it. That's what your pillow is supposed to do. You're supposed to beat that shopping cart up with your pillow. That is using grace. What good is it for you to walk by and see somebody hurting and needing, and you're holding on to your pillow, talking about your pillow? If you're so busy cherishing the pillow, you can't use the pillow.
That's really good.
This is the pillow theory. Now apply this to grace. If you're so busy focusing on the grace, cherishing the grace of God, acknowledging the grace of God, I promise you, you're going to have no time to put it to use. I got news for you. If grace is truly pillows, I'm a pillow abuser.
Yeah.
I abuse pillows all day long. If somebody has a flat tire in the rain, I'm throwing pillows under the car. If I see somebody limping, I will come up behind them and attack them and slap them silly with a pillow in each hand.
Yes.
That is what's called the greater works that you
yes,
will do
is.
Than me.
Yes,
it's
it
like
is.
Say, it's like saying, God says, I make pillows. I pass them out. But you're going to have an unlimited supply of pillows, and you're going to think of things to use with pillows that I never had time to think about. That's the pillow theory. That's grace.
Yes, very, very good. Some of our teaching that I've done, something that's very similar to that, I think you maybe heard me say it, it just relates this story even differently, but the same, is what if we had a big trunk full of magic wands and we passed them out to everybody and it said on that magic wand for the next 7 days, anyone you touch with it will be healed, will be blessed, will be helped. Well, what would you do with that magic wand? I mean, if you knew it would work, you'd be touching people with it. Like BJ said, you might be coming up behind them and just smacking them with it and making them well, making them healed, making them whole. Now, see, that makes sense if we think about it like that. Or if you hear BJ talk to you about the pillow theory and you can picture having a pillow in your hand and you walk up behind somebody and you're not going to hurt them by hitting them with it. But when you do, you heal them or it relieves them from the stress of life. God's grace to influence people on a daily basis, regularly, and making a significant effect in their lives. This is the pillow theory. Well, it's just like that magic wand. Well, my friends, Jesus talked about this, and boy, this is really the Bible in essence, what we're talking about. If you want to break everything down, I mean, God didn't give us a Bible full of inspiration so that we would sit around and be so inspired not to do anything. God wants us to be very active in His work, and He doesn't want us active in our own ability. He wants us to be active through His ability. So listen to what Jesus said here when He made reference over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. I think this is really, really simple, but it's profound and good. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on it, that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Notice what Jesus is saying. He's talking about wisdom. The guy that does something with what he hears versus a guy who doesn't do anything at all. And he likens it unto a house that falls apart, or you can have the storms of life come, BJ, and it doesn't matter how big the storms are. Your house is going to be standing because you've been doing something with the grace of God. Really interesting.
Well, you know, Jesus didn't exactly hang out in a barn and just say, look what my dad gave me.
He was born in a barn, though. In a stable, sorry.
So was I. Actually, I was. I was born in a barn. But anyways, I mean, he didn't just hang out. He traveled around.
Yes.
He went to all manner of places to do nothing but what? Provide grace and exercise the use of grace.
Pass out pillows and beat people with pillows.
Yes.
It's great. I love
it. Yes. He literally said, okay, look, you need some wine. You need some water. You need some loaves of bread. You need some fish. You know, well, I think I'll just, throw some pillows at you.
Right.
You know, I mean, he pretty much just grabbed pillows out of thin air and was just floating on pillows when he walked across water. It's grace.
Yes, it is.
And that's what people need to do, because if they realize that it's the glass will never be empty.
No.
The glass will always run over.
Yes.
And that the more that you use, the more you're going to get.
Yeah. And
the more that you get, the more you will use, because it's almost like being addicted to a drug. The more you pray, the more your prayers are answered, the more you're going to do, and the better you're going to do, because that's what's happening to me. And a perfect example is we got an email from a woman in Manchester, England. She says, "Dear Brother Jim, I thank God for this week's show. I learned a lot about knowing who I am in Christ and God's grace. I didn't see it that way, but I do now. I love the discussion about the ice cream machine." Well, who doesn't like to talk about ice cream? "Unfortunately, I'm on a diet." Well, that's a shame. I'm listening to the show many times, and I'm really blessed by it. Looking forward to what the Holy Spirit will have you both discuss next week. Obviously, it's home decor. We're talking about pillows. And by the way, I forgot to say that I got healed from ringing in my ears on the first day that Jim was in his conference in Manchester.
Oh,
praise God.
Yes.
Lola in Manchester, England. See, folks, that's how easy it is to email the show with your testimony. Even if you just want to hear your name mentioned on the air and tell us where you're listening, you can do that. You can just contact us. You go to the contacts. You send us an email, and make sure if you don't want your name mentioned, just say you can read this on the air, but don't mention my name.
BJ, everywhere I go, my luggage is filled with pillows. We even passed some out in Manchester, England. Think about that. A pillow worked on someone's ear. Well, folks, listen to this statement here, and I think you'll understand a little bit why Jesus said some of the things he did. In verse 8 of John 15, Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will be my disciples." Notice what he said. My Father is glorified. Well, how many people want to glorify God? Now, don't take this wrong, because I realize that there's passages of Scripture that show us that people gather together to worship the Lord and give Him praise. But folks, listen, some of the greatest praise that you can ever give God comes in different manner than just being in a church and lifting your hands and singing or uttering praise. What about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that says our spiritual worship is to keep our body in check, to have our mind renewed, and to present our body spotless and blameless? It says that spiritual worship. That's a different type of worship maybe than we were thinking. And this, folks, is one of the greatest ways to honor God, is to use your pillows. And what does it do? It glorifies God. So I'm going to come to a scripture here that BJ is going to love, because he's going to think that it was patterned right after exactly what he said when he talked about the pillow theory. It's over in James, excuse me, chapter 2, And it says, verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" And BJ, you're going to like this. Verse 15 and 16. "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Hey, depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead." I mean, how simple can we get?
I'm pretty close.
It's like if you find somebody that needs a pillow, and you say to them, and you tell them, "Hey, be healed, be well," and you don't give them a pillow, what have you done?
I think we should have some T-shirts made that say, "I'm proud to be a pillow pounder." and have that little fish that you see on bumper stickers.
Yes.
You know, we'll put
yes.
that on there, and we'll just confuse everybody
sure.
and say, "What is a Christian pillow pounder? Who is that? What is that?"
Well, maybe we'll offer pillowcase covers. And then people can just buy them and stick them on their own pillows. Folks, listen, grace is abundant. It's like breathing air. The grace of God is boundless. It's limitless. And this is the grace that saved us and filled us with every good thing in Christ. And the whole reason why we have all these good things in Christ is to use them. And they not only bless us, but go beyond just yourself. Look at what the grace of God can do for someone. How many testimonies do we have already, BJ, in 250 days or so in your life by just being out about and all of a sudden someone needs a pillow?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, right.
I literally cannot leave the ranch. Well, I mean, I have to go a couple miles to get to town, but I mean, I literally cannot leave the ranch without running into someone who has use for a pillow.
Yes.
And I think what's interesting about taking grace and saying it's a pillow is that these pillows are invincible.
They are.
That see, maybe it's not the pillow itself that is grace. Maybe it's the spiritual scotch guard that's on the pillow.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I wrote this in my theory. I said, think of it. I says, maybe the pillow isn't grace, but it's the coating. It's the scotch guard on the pillow
right.
that is of Christ. Because, I mean, I could write a for your consideration, and I could title it, you know, God's scotch guard on the pillow of grace.
Yes.
Because you're going to love this.
Okay.
All stains are forgiven.
There you go. There you go. All sins are forgiven. This is what grace does.
Yes. And, you know, this is what kills me is because I'll talk to somebody and they'll say, you know, don't you think that you're going to be punished, or don't you think it's disrespectful to have fun and to make light of things? You know, like God's grace is a pillow, scotch guard, all stains are forgiven.
Right.
And I'm thinking, really? Because that almost says that being a spiritual being and looking at the Bible as scriptures instead of doctrine is
yes.
wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that kind of goes to the how many clicks away civilization
right.
has gone in 2,000
yeah.
years. Because I can promise you, when Jesus was roaming around
yes, yes.
with a bunch of guys and they're taking notes on what he's doing, like a bunch of stenographers in a courtroom, they were all about grace everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
And there wasn't anything special about them.
Yeah, in fact, you know, about Jesus, it even says here in John chapter 1, BJ, it said, all right, let me read this here from verse 14. John 1, it says, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what does that show you there? It shows you the power of grace and truth, and it has everything to do with the glory of God. And it goes on, excuse me, to say, verse 16, "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." BJ, the play on words there, we have all received grace for grace. You know what it means? It means grace heaped upon grace. Heaps and heaps and heaps. You know what it means? It means the factory of the Holy Ghost, the
yeah.
grace factory of pillows, and there's more than you could ever use. And if you ever get to the end of a pillow, what does that sound like? That sounds like the ladder theory. If you ever get to the top rung and take another step and reach out to get another rung, you'll always have another rung. There'll always be another pillow handed to you. It says here, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. And then it went on to say, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came and was successful upon the earth, BJ, because of these pillows.
Right.
I mean, really and truly, if you break it down, if anyone is really having a problem at all with the way we're talking, you know, they would have a problem with Jesus. If all of a sudden Jesus just sat down in our chair and started talking, they'd have a problem with the way he would talk.
I don't know if it's so much as a problem as it is a perplexing confusion. Because they know that, I mean, almost everybody that listens to the show has some type of spiritual hunger or thirst. If you gave them a pen and paper, they couldn't describe it. But yet, if you're talking to them, they're saying there's something missing.
Right.
I'm not getting what I need. And you'd say, well, what do you mean? And they'd say, well, I don't know. They'd say, all I know is the building or the church I go to, when I leave there, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. Well, what do you mean you're thirsty and hungry? Well, there's just has to be something more. Because they'll sit at home or at a red light, or they'll be in the bathroom at work or in their cubicle or in front of their machine or something, and all of a sudden it'll hit them that there has to be something more.
Yes.
And that more is grace.
Yes, it is.
Because when you acknowledge grace, when you accept grace, when you feel it, when you see what it does, then all of a sudden the statement, there is nothing good of this world, really makes sense.
Yeah, then it does make sense. Sure it does.
Because grace doesn't combat this world, because there's nothing to combat, because Satan has been defeated.
Right, Jesus has his victory.
And so grace is not a weapon, grace is a reward.
Yeah.
Grace is a gift.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be assertive, it's meant to be comforting.
Well, you know, like I made mention earlier, Paul made mention in every one of his writings, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. He constantly was reassuring the people that there was a tangibility of God's influence in your life that would make a change ultimately in everything that you did. BJ, I have some really great material here, and I would really like to continue to talk along these lines here in a few moments. But if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in and make a little break here. And go ahead and just tell the folks about a few things, because I want to let them know about some things coming up even next week.
Okay.
So this is the Abiding Presence radio show, and we have some really nice and wonderful things for you on our website called The Abiding Presence, www.theabidingpresence.com. And if you'll go to that website, you'll see some things that are written by myself and by BJ. He has quite a few writings on there in the theory section. And you'll also see for your consideration section. And these are just two pages of the website that you'll find some of our thoughts put into writing, where you can begin to see where we're coming from, how God is beginning to lead us in a relationship where we're becoming more conscious of His presence. We're having greater experiences with God. And we're seeing more and more things take place in the lives of people everywhere we go. And I trust that what you're hearing, even on this show, is encouraging you. So I do encourage you, please go to the website. I want you to know that at any time you can email us. And like you've heard with our one individual there in Manchester, I think it was Lola in Manchester, England. She wrote in and told a story, gave us a testimony, and we love those testimonies, folks. I know that God is doing some wonderful things, and before the show is over tonight, we're going to take our pillows, and we're going to do a number on you folks that are listening, and God's going to touch you just so wonderfully and change your life. So there'll definitely be a time for us to pray. So send in your emails. And let us know on those emails if it's okay to use your name, if it's okay to read what you've said to us, or if you'd like those things to not be read just to us only. Also, we want to let you know that we do have a P.O. box. And tonight, BJ, we were just letting folks know if you want to send in any type of Christmas card to us, we'll let you know how thankful we are. And if you're fine with us even mentioning that on the show, we just want to give acknowledgement to people that are participating in what we're doing. We know that the Lord really wants to touch your lives. So please participate with us. And that P.O. box is on the website, very easy to find. And you'll be able to write in, and we'll certainly give you some answers and acknowledge that if you'd like us to do so. Well, I wanted to let you know that we continue, and on the Jim Hockaday Ministry website, which is called jimhockaday.com, you'll find a schedule of meetings that I have here in the Bixby, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma area. And we'll do every other week healing meetings, Tuesday through Thursday, from 11:30 to 1 o'clock at The Bridge, which is a church right there south of Tulsa at 121st Street and Memorial. And coming up next week, Thursday evening, we have a miracle meeting coming up at 7 o'clock at night. And we certainly do invite anyone that's listening that would be able to make that. Or if you know someone that's in this area that you want to tell them, make sure you go to that meeting. We're going to take some pillows and really touch people's lives. In fact, to be honest with you, I think our topic Thursday night will probably be about pillows. So it's been wonderful to have this little break. I trust you've enjoyed it. And now we want to get back to the show and continue talking about the grace of God. Well, BJ, it's great to be back here. And I've got some really cool stuff to just share. If it's all right, I'm going to go ahead and just make a couple comments here. And I think you'll really like the direction because it's the same thing we're talking about. It just gives more fuel to the fire. And that is over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter was talking, and he shared something about Jesus. And I want you to hear this. And what he's sharing about Jesus, I'll just give you a little prefix to it. It is that Jesus is taking a pillow and using pillows on people to bring an effective ministry to light. So notice what it says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. What is all of that? That's called the grace of God. I'm going to read it again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. What did he do with his pillows? What did he do with this grace? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, when you explain it that way, it makes a whole lot more sense to see what Jesus did. Jesus took his relationship of God, that wonderful presence of the Lord, and the spirit of grace that was upon him, and he took his pillow, like we've been talking about, and he rubbed it on people. He came up behind people. He used it for all kinds of things. BJ, you made mention earlier about even food being multiplied during one of the times where Jesus had over 10,000 people, and some historians would say the ones that were mentioned were the men, and so add children and add wives to that and the women, and you probably had 30,000 people. And the only thing that Jesus had to feed these people was a little boy's lunch that some folks say was nothing more than a few crackers and some sardines. And it says Jesus took that lunch, he blessed it, and gave thanks for it. What is that? That's acknowledging the grace of God, isn't it? That's acknowledging God's presence. And then he began to break that bread, and he began to break up those fishes, and he fed 30,000 people with 12 basketful left over. What does that tell us about the grace of God? Not only will it multiply, but when you're done with it, you've got baskets full left over. It sounds like what we've been talking about. Like you can't help but throw a pillow at someone and touch them and bless them without another pillow being in your hand. Doesn't seem like we can run out of pillows, BJ, if we get busy using the grace of God, does it?
No. No, there is no... The only place that there are limits and boundaries, and the only place that there are stop signs and that the road ever ends is of this world, In the spirit world, there are no limits, there are no boundaries, because that would mean that God does not have all the power and omnipotence. It means that there would be limitations. And when you put a limitation on something, whether it's a prayer or grace or your ability to advance your enlightenment or to become closer to God, you're not limiting it. You're not setting a goal. You're actually going in the opposite direction. There is no limits.
No.
And limits and boundaries and rules and guidelines really have no place in the spirit world, because but yet that's tough, because in this world, in the unnatural world, that's all there is.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and not only are there rules and limitations, but believe it or not, they're short-lived. I mean, we basically live in a microwave society. In 5 minutes or less, heat and serve and eat. And if you don't like it, throw it out and get something new. Everything has limits. Everything is even designed to factor in when things don't go right. A prenuptial agreement,
yes,
when you get,
yep,
married. What is, yep, that saying? That's saying that before the wedding even takes place, you've signed a legal document saying if this doesn't work out, there's a plan B. There is no plan B when it comes to God, folks.
No.
You, either it's there or it isn't.
Yes. Very, very good. And in fact, a comment that I'll make with that, and this is just in a worldly setting, but when you submit yourself to a business or to an organization, what's really interesting about it is not only will you learn the positive things of that ministry or organization, but you're also going to learn, whether you know it or not, the negative things. You'll be exposed to them. And if you don't know what they are, you'll end up finding yourself acting very similar to those that are in leadership, because you just pick up on those things. Well, this is very interesting, because we're living in a world, and this world has a lot of negative things, and the very heart or foundation of the way the world thinks is opposed to the way that God thinks. Listen to what BJ just said, talked about the limitations of the Spirit. There is no limit. God's omnipotence means He's all-powerful. When Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me," that doesn't mean there's any left for the devil whatsoever. That's why he's been so thoroughly defeated. In one sense, he's really not even an issue. That's why we usually just call him negative energy or a negative influence, because he's not worthy of a name. Jesus took all power. He took the keys of death and hell. And what does that do for the grace of God? It makes it boundless and limitless. It means they'll never run out of pillows if you're going to use the grace of God in your own life, or whether you're going to use the grace of God on someone else's life. And this, as though many would say, "Wow, this is special. I've never heard anything." It's really supposed to be extremely commonplace, very normal, very natural. And just by way of information, if you go to, at another time, go to the theories on the supernatural versus the natural, and you'll see some really good things there that'll help you to understand that we've begun to really make some different changes in our thoughts and the way that we speak about things. Everything in this world we don't call natural. We call it unnatural, because it's been tainted. It's been distorted. It's according to man's view and not according to God's. Listen to everything that BJ made comment of, and then just use your mind to begin to think and imagine all the things that we put limitations on. Folks, the church world is full of preaching with limitations. Well, we're not sure that that's going to work. You know, you have to be really careful about that. You really need to make sure that the Lord, you know, wants that to take place. And, we'll pray a prayer, and we'll, if it's the Lord's will, it'll work. And if it's not the Lord's will, it won't work. And, you know, you got to be real careful, because if there's anything in your life that you've ever done, I'm telling you what, the power of God won't work. There's limitation after limitation after limitation where we've substituted the grace of God, and we've been living under law and legalism. Now, let's not get too big with our terms and continue to keep it real simple here, but the Lord wants us to see something tonight. God's grace is available for all of us to use every moment. And your faith in the intangible and yet very tangible to the spirit realm, grace of God, is what will cause you to act and to respond as though God is there because he's everywhere. Now, here's a case with Jesus, and I'm going to read this from Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit in his eyes and put his hands on him, what does that sound like? It sounds like beating him in the head with a pillow. It sounds like Jesus used Scotch guard on this man, like we've been talking about. That's exactly what he did. He took his pillow and he beat this man, and he put it on his eyes, and he laid hands on him, and he asked him if he could see anything. And he looked up and he said, "I see men like trees walking." Well, that's only half a healing. And it says here, then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. Now, this is the interesting part, and the reason why I use this specifically is because here you see that Jesus actually ministered to him or took his pillow and beat him with it. And I know some of you are thinking, I don't like the phrase beat him with it. Do you get what we're saying with it? He's not hurting him. He's just using his pillow. He's taking his pillow and he's rubbing it on us, or he's smacking him with it, or he's putting it on his eyes. He's putting a pillow on his hands. Listen, folks, we've got to get used to and start to incorporate this very simple of thoughts. That every day you're filled, your car is filled up with pillows. You go to work, you've got all the grace of God at your disposal to do something so wonderful as to release that pillow, to give it away, or to rub it on somebody and see them blessed and see them healed and see them set free. And that's what I get to experience every time I go out to minister. And during the day on phone calls, right over the airways while I'm speaking on the phone, we'll pray for somebody. Or just tell them, now the power of God has come upon you, and all I did is take my pillow and I rubbed it on them, and God's presence would heal them and set them free. Well, I like this story, BJ, because it shows us that Jesus used this pillow more than once. He wasn't just satisfied with a little bit of healing. He wanted all of it. And what did he do? He took his pillow and he rubbed it on him some more. I trust that this is making sense, because for me, this is really great. I mean, I've been in the ministry for 25 years now, traveling around the country, and I've seen all kinds of people healed, all kinds of wonderful deliverances, eyes opening up. We just heard a testimony of one of our guys that went into the hospital, and he laid hands on a lady that had a serious problem from diabetes, with a wound that wouldn't close. And overnight, that thing closed up. And the next day when he went in to talk with her, she said, "That's not all of it." She said, "I can read my Bible." He said, "Well, what was totally wrong with you?" She said, "I was blind. I couldn't see." She had gone blind because of the diabetes. Her wound wouldn't heal. The wound was healed overnight, and her eyes opened up. Come on, that's taking a pillow and rubbing it on somebody. And I love that it's not just my testimony. It's a testimony from one of our guys by the name of Dale, who's doing such a wonderful job. Well, what does it mean? It means that God's using BJ's pillows, God's using Dale's pillows, God will use me with pillows, and God will use you and your pillows. That grace is abundant, and that grace is available for you today. I want to read something else about Jesus, but I don't want to take up all the time, but this is really, really, really good here. And it's in Mark. Let's see here. Praise the Lord. I trust you're getting something about these pillows. This is a wonderful, wonderful topic and a great opportunity for us to share this with you. How many of you, and just think for a moment while I'm talking to you, how many of you have opportunities on a daily basis to talk with individuals? Is there anybody that you know that's hurting? You may wonder, how can I minister to them? Folks, listen, to the degree you're conscious of your pillow, you can go up and just put your hand on their shoulder and just say, you know, God wants to really bless you today. And I'm expecting that the things we talked about the other day, you're going to see some amazing change in your life. I had one of the guys that we had trained, and this is what he did. He was riding in the car with his boss. Come on, think about this for a second while we're getting ready to share something with you. He's riding in the car with his boss, and his boss tells tells him about his wife that has been checked by multiple doctors, and she's got constant pain and just in agony, and the doctors do not know where the problem was. And one of the guys, his name is Tyler, he took out his pillow in the form of a $20 bill, and he put it on the dash of this man's car, his boss. And he said, "I want you to know that your wife is healed, and she'll experience no more pain after tomorrow morning." And he said, "I want you to give her a call and let her know that that's what I said." And he said, "If it doesn't work, I want you to take that $20 bill." And by time the next morning came, the boss told my friend Tyler that she was set free. All of her pain had disappeared overnight, and there was no more pain left in her body. Folks, what are we talking about? We're talking about the application of using your pillow. This is really, really exciting stuff. It works on the ranch. It works in some of these amazing stories you've heard BJ tell. It works in the meetings that I'm preaching in, but it'll work on your job, and it'll work right there in your home. All right. Look at this in Luke chapter 4, and then I'll bring BJ back on to comment about these things, because we're coming really to the close of this really good, I trust you've been enjoying it, but really good session that we've had here. It says, Jesus went into the synagogue, and he took the book of Isaiah, and when he found the book of Isaiah, he found the place where it was written. So he's going to talk about pillows. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." In other words, what did he say? He said, "I've got a pillow." And everybody understood in that region that pillows were used to heal. Pillows would open blind eyes. Pillows would set people free. Pillows would make the cripple whole. Pillows would heal a horse. Pillows would heal an animal. Come on, this is what Jesus is saying. "Because he has anointed me." Do you know what it means to be anointed? It means to be rubbed on and smeared into. It means you're holding on to your pillow, and there's something on you because of that pillow, and you're going to put it on someone else. It says, "To preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable, the year of the Lord." BJ, what Jesus was saying here is, he says, "Listen to all the things that my pillow will do. I'm getting ready to put my pillow on you." And you know the interesting thing about it is, in his own hometown right here, when he began to tell this, they rose up against him and cast him out of the town. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He's saying, "Here, look at what my pillow will do." And they wouldn't even let him do it. Pretty wild. Interesting experience Jesus had. I think it's apropos to what we find today. People sometimes don't respect the fact that the grace of God is everywhere. But it is, and it's available for folks even right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the focus should be on your own personal relationship with God, not what society or a building tells you it should be.
Very good.
That's the point. If you rely on other people, including this radio show, if you rely on other people for the quality of your relationship with God, you'll never have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because you'll be focused on someone else instead of your own desire and your own needs and your own wants and the way that grace affects you and helps you and assists you. If you're focused on someone else, you're not focused on God, you're focused on someone of this world. And that's important to remember, that it's okay to get advice, to get direction, to maybe get some inspiration, but to find the fuel that feeds your spiritual engine, that's something that you should manufacture. Yes. On your own.
Yes.
That isn't something that someone gives you. That's something that you build and something that you create. That's what faith and believing in grace does. It provides that fuel. That isn't something that can be provided by someone else.
Yeah, this is our relationship with Christ that BJ's talking about. And this is the fuel of the whole thing. In fact, if for any reason we think, you know, the grace of God is that Jesus forgave all sins. Well, it is. But what does that mean to our life, that all sins are forgiven? In other words, take it another step right into your relationship with God. Don't keep things in a place of boundaries. Take the boundaries and the limits off, and let's make sure that everything that we're reading here brings us into a greater experience with our Father. In fact, when you listen to Jesus and hear him say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me," it's the same thing that we read over there in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. There's nothing of that verse that is not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That verse is like a thousand pillows right there. Unlimited pillows is what that verse says. Same thing with Jesus in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then Jesus lists these wonderful categories that will bless your entire life, which he's saying the grace of God is available for every single part of your life. But folks, listen, if the grace of God is just to help you get healthy, but you don't have a relationship with the healer, then how good really is your health? If the grace of God is to give you some amazing, wonderful knowledge of God's goodness, but you don't practice that knowledge, you don't allow it to affect your relationship, then really, how good is that grace? Tonight, I want you to experience the grace, God's presence, and his goodness in your life. And I'm going to take a moment right now to pray. And I know that God's going to touch you. In fact, I feel as though there's someone that's got your hand on your midsection and you find yourself in pain. It may be abdominal area. It may be the area of your pancreas over on your right-hand side. But I want you to know that God's going to touch you right now. In fact, there's someone else with some nerve damage here tonight. God's healing you. God's touching you. And we want to see not only Lord touch you, but we want to hear your testimony. Let's pray right now, and let's just use our pillows. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for what we've learned tonight. Just to know that we have a pillow, and we can use it. God, it means everything. It immediately opens up the imagination to think, how could I use this grace, and what could it do? Well, in the name of Jesus, I release these people by the grace of God, by the goodness of God, and say to the abdominal area, be healed right now and every pain disappear. To that pancreas, be made whole. Every bit of that pancreas, come alive and work. To those migraines, I command those to disappear. To that nerve damage, we command that to stop in the name of Jesus. And we're just releasing the grace of God, folks. That's all there is. To that cancer, we command the cancer to die. You know what? This is just so simple. I rub the grace of God on that cancer, on that tumor, and command every cell just to stop breathing, to stop living, the cancer to die, and for you to be made whole this day. And I reiterate as I close this prayer, Jesus stood up and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind." We declare your liberty by God's grace right now. Man, enjoy this and then give it away and see how blessed you are. Let us know, folks. There's testimonies all over the airwaves. BJ, we've had a really good time tonight. God's good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not bad. Folks, this show repeats itself 24 hours, 7 days a week. It'd be nice if you could pass that information along. If you have something that you want to include off of the internet, maybe someone's listening to the show on their telephone and you don't have the ability to send emails or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're downloading this on Facebook for other people. We do have a P.O. box that is on the show's website. Make sure that you provide that to people. Also, take a moment to think about tonight's broadcast. Maybe listen to it a couple of times. If you have questions, you can get to us on the email. This is The Abiding Presence. It's an internet radio show. There's lots of things coming on the website. We're going to be putting some new things on the website about Bibles, the different types of Bibles, what they are, what is the different variations and terminology. We'll be probably get that up in a week or two for you. And some other exciting things are coming along. This is The Abiding Presence with your host, Jim Huckaday. Have a good week, And take care of yourselves. And we will be back here in 7 days. We broadcast on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Make use of the email. Tell us how things are going in your spirit-filled life. Good night.
Good night, everyone. It's been a wonderful show.